This is KTOO's Juno Afternoon. Scott Burton, your host today, and my guest with me via FaceTime audio now is Doth Ginny Cruz. And we're here to talk about celebration. It's day two of 2020 virtual celebration. And Doth Ginny is a teacher, an artist, a mother, a leader, and has participated in celebration for several years. And Doth Ginny, welcome to the show.
All right. Gnus Chish, Scott. I really appreciate that introduction. I think you basically gave it. I'm Doth Ginny. Singet Reinachsa. Mary Cruz, Yechatu Asak, Kagwantan Chatsiti, Ach Ish Hus, Ach Kanian, Ka Ach Mile, yeah, Chuknachadi Chatsiti, Kanachtedi Dachanayachat, Jishkat Kwan Chatsiti, Juno Gechat Yeti. So I live in Juno, my family comes from Klukwan. I'm Kagwantan, I'm the child of the Chuknachadi. And I am also the grandchild of the Ganach Tedi. Gnus Chish.
Gnus Chish. Thank you. Before we get to celebration, will you tell us a little bit more about what keeps you busy here in Juno when you're not participating in celebration?
Right now, I've just been really busy focusing in on work. I got to go spend a day on the boat yesterday, so that was pretty fantastic, trying to jig for some halibut, playing on the beach. I've finally gotten to start my garden this year, having time at home, and my children keep me extremely busy. I have a 6-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old son.
And you are a teacher and an artist as well, right?
Oh yes, I am. So yes, I've been working, I work for Tlingit and Haida Central Council, and I am a Tlingit language instructor for a, Tlingit language nest, Hayuqatangikudi. And we teach primarily ages 3 to 5, so preschool age language nest. And my wife and I also create jewelry. Our business name is Naki Designs. So we've been busy with both of those areas of work for us.
All right. Let's get the contact for how we can buy or find your art before we get off the phone here today. Well, thank you for sharing. It sounds like you're very busy. It sounds like good busy to me. Thinking about celebration, tell us how you participate normally, I would say, in celebration.
Yeah, so for most years past, I've been probably attending celebration since I was 6 or 8 years old, I think, in various dance groups. And I think about 2010, I started leading the Eagle Raven Dancers, which was originally led by Agnes Bellinger. So I helped that group kind of keep their feet on the ground and keep moving forward. And I have since moved on to co-leading with, I mean, really our dance group now is a co-led group, really. And it's just a bunch of friends with our kids, and we come together, and it's called Hustu Itik Kake Dihasati. And it really means we are the seeds left in their remains. And it's a family fun-based dance group where we work on language and the history of the songs. And in the more recent years, we've actually held a table for vending, you know, our jewelry, and that has been really successful and a lot of fun. I think we've only done it for 2 celebrations, and we're really looking forward to being able to do it again this year. It's really fun networking with everybody and meeting other artists, and it gives you an opportunity to see a lot of people that you probably wouldn't otherwise see just with the busyness of celebration.
Got it. So the title of your dance group, We Are the Seeds Left in Their Remains, is that correct?
Yes.
And forgive me, I'll learn the Tlingit next time when we speak. Take us on the stage, whether you're on the main stage at Centennial Hall during celebration or to a practice. Take us into that group, if you would, for a minute. And what's it feel like to you to dance with your family and friends?
You know, ever since joining this group, it has just been, it's been a lot of fun. We've seen a lot of growth. We started out, you know, just a few years ago, a fairly young group, a group of friends who we just felt like we needed a kind of a different scene for our children and for the language. You often see dance groups separated. There's adult groups and then there's kid groups, and really a lot about the presentation at the performance being such a key piece of dance groups at times. And so with our group, our goal was different. It was really highlighting the children and making sure that they were growing and they were understanding what they were singing and why they were dancing. And a lot of times at practice, we give them, they're all friends, right? It's kind of, our kids think of it as a play date. We give them time to play, and then we come together and we do three or four songs. We really make sure it's accommodating their attention span. We do three or four songs together, then we give them another 10 minutes to play, come back together, do a few more songs, and we try to get through one lineup before the end of practice. Everybody really has a voice in the group. If people want to bring songs and make sure they have permission from their clan leaders, that's kind of how we bring it forward. I feel like it's a really cohesive group, and it's a lot of fun, and it's very focused on our children.
That sounds really fun to me. Any room for a middle-aged white radio producer guy in your
yeah.
group?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, you mentioned, Scott, that you're working on learning the Tlingit language. And one reason why we are so bummed about not being able to perform this year is that we had a goal to not speak any English up on stage. Our goal was to have, you know, probably scripts written for a lot of our children to introduce songs, especially if they were in some sort of relation to that song through clan. We would have those kids introduce the songs, but there was going to be no English spoken on stage. So that was really our goal for this year, was we're going to do all of this in Tlingit. And I had started working on the scripts and talking to fluent speakers about really making sure I had the information correct. And yeah, there's room. There's always room.
You know, the reason I thought to call you today, among other reasons, was I was watching a virtual celebration on Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's YouTube channel, which I recommend anybody check out. It's really, really enjoyable how they're piecing together vintage footage. It was your dance group's performance from 2018. And then interviews, home videos, selfies, like, check it out. So that makes me wonder how you are participating in virtual celebration.
Yeah, we participated in a few different ways. Our son, being 2 years old, got to participate in the toddler regalia review this year. And so we had a lot of fun dressing him up in regalia, realizing he actually has quite a few missing pieces of regalia. But luckily, he has an older sister, so he got to get dressed up in his sister's knockane that her Uncle Ricky made her when she was born. He wove her a chokat blanket. And so we got him dressed up, took some photos, which are going to be absolutely frameable photos for our home. They're just beautiful.
Nachain was by Leo Yates, Ricky Tigerman.
Yep. Right. Yep. Yeah. we also did a video for the vendor market, right? So we did we had to keep it, I think, under 45 seconds or something like that. So we did a video kind of showcasing our artwork and just talking about, you know, what we've been doing, when we started, what our jewelry showcase is. And, you know, what's really funny is we wish that we knew some video editing skills, because we have hours of blooper reels that we would love to put together and put out there, because our video seems very serious and nervous. But if we could just get the blooper reels, oh, it would be so fun. It would really show a lot of our personalities coming out.
I happen to know somebody who knows how to do video editing. You should keep each other in the loop on that one. That sounds fun,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah. And then the other thing is, you know, 2018, they ask you to do a kind of a pre-recorded video. Life was just busy for me. I didn't actually get to do a pre-recording video, but one of our dance group members, Katie Pittman, and her husband, I believe, worked with Katie's brother, Sonny Pittman, on just putting together videos and photos of us to play at the beginning of, you know, our 2018 performance. So that was another route to get us in there. And that was a lot of fun too, watching that today, because I hadn't seen the final production before it got put on the air.
A few minutes ago, I asked you what it means to be in your own personal dance group. What does celebration as a whole mean to you?
You know, I think celebration is a way for us to come together, to see, you know, hundreds of people that we may not see for 2 years at a time, a showing of our pride in our culture. It wasn't that long ago, and there are still many you know, issues with racism and inequities. But it's really a time for us all to come together and just be really proud of who we are and to pass on the knowledge that we've gained from our elders, who have gained that knowledge from their ancestors, and just really live, you know. And aside from just celebration in itself, it's also really fun to prepare for celebration. You know, you're coming together more often, you're working harder. And I always like to think that we should be doing all of these things, not just before celebration, but we should be celebrating all year round. So celebration kind of brings that tenfold into a solid, cohesive event of pride and knowledge and language and culture and song and dance.
If we have a listener who's never tuned in or never attended celebration before, this year they have a chance to view virtual celebration from the comfort of their home. You know, again, that's at Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's YouTube channel. What would you advise them to look for? Whether it, again, it's a dance on the main stage or an interview with an individual, what makes it special? I know there are a lot of things, but what might you advise them to look for?
You know, if they've never attended celebration, I just advise them to get on there and check it out. One thing I saw today, which, you know, isn't a norm that you, I mean, it is kind of a norm. You get storytelling in that piece, but there were little clips of storytelling and there were clips of words from elders and NYO demonstrations. There's just all, like right now, there's just a whole nother level of presentation that, you know, I think with the busyness and the chaos of making sure celebration happens, some of these things might get put on the wayside. So I don't know. It was really fun seeing the different things that have been added into celebration this year to kind of be a pick-me-up for it. I also, you know, think it's really fun to see the different varieties. You know, I just got to watch the Aleutic dancers, which, you know, I didn't do celebration in 2018, so I didn't get to see them. I thought it was so beautiful. I think the messages before that everybody is giving, you know, be safe. We love you. We appreciate Sea Alaska Heritage for making sure that, you know, even though they canceled celebration this year, they still found a way for us to do it. They're keeping our people safe. Yeah. So I think all of those little messages in between, those hidden little messages, are pretty fantastic.
All right. You know, a minute ago, you mentioned racism and inequity. And today, I was looking at your Facebook page and I saw your banner over your image. It says Natives for hashtag Black Lives Matter. Dasjini, I'm wondering if you could speak to that a little bit and what motivated you to put that on your Facebook page.
Yeah, that is just, that is a whole situation in America that, and across the world. You know, I think I hear people always say, you know, all lives matter. Well, we know that all lives matter, but all lives aren't being treated as disposable. They aren't being treated as inequitable objects like Black lives or even Native lives or people of color in general. The numbers, the statistics are disproportionate. And I've tried in several different ways to bring up white privilege. And what I find is people are so easily offended by that phrase. They are so, you know, I had struggles in my life. I didn't have everything handed to me. That's not what that means. It doesn't mean you didn't have struggles. You know, I'm going to backtrack a little. I had an email the other day from a friend, a white male, who is sheltered in Southeast Alaska, right? And he wrote to me and he said, you know, I'm not trying to tell you how to be, I'm not trying to tell you what to say. Your posts seem a bit aggressive. You should put your phone down and live in the real world. And I just don't want you to turn into one of the crazies. And it really made me reflect, like, oh man, you know, is my Facebook, is it getting crazy? And I started reflecting and I realized, you know, for one, you are telling me how to be. And story of our lives, right? You know, constantly having the white male tell us how to be. You know, it's against status quo to be like this. Secondly, my posts seem aggressive. I am angry. I am upset. This is an injustice. This is something that people of color have been dealing with for generations, for hundreds of years. And I think people are just finally like, enough is enough. Yes, I am angry. Yes, I am sad. And I don't understand how you couldn't be, I guess is how I feel. Thirdly, Put the phone down and live in the real world. Well, you know, I live in Alaska. We're really sheltered. We deal with racism. We deal with all different kinds of things here. But to me, I was like, do you not realize that this is happening in the real world? This is the real world. There is a lot of horrible things happening, you know, over and over and over for generations, transgenerational trauma just being relived over and over and over again. And if I'm not living in that real world, what world am I living in? That is the real world. And then fourth is, I don't want you to turn into one of the crazies. Really, what is that saying? I mean, I can just put that out to the listeners. What is that message? Because if I am crazy for thinking that Black Lives Matter, if I am crazy for feeling upset, for feeling aggressive, for feeling anger about the state of our country, if that makes me crazy, then I am crazy. There's just so much to that. It just really made me reflect. I'm actually thankful that I got that email because it really kind of put it into perspective. And the other thing, like, oh, go ahead, Scott.
No, keep going, please.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, white privilege, you know, I almost responded. And my thing is, you know, I am born with very fair skin. I have a white grandmother. My mother has very fair skin, even compared to her siblings. I have been born into privilege. Is that my fault? It's not your fault if you're born with privilege because you're a man. It is not your fault that you are born with privilege because your gender doesn't take that away from you, or your sexual orientation, or your color of your skin, or the wealth that you were born into. None of that is your fault, but it is what you do with that privilege. You know, become aware, open your mind. You know, try to empathize, try to see it from a different point of view. It is not any of our faults for being born with privilege, but if we have that privilege, let's take it and use it for the betterment of all people.
Goodness, sheesh. Thank you for sharing that. You know, and you just outlined the virtual email that you would have sent back to this individual. Three very succinct points. In closing, what might have you said to this individual?
You know, in closing, I would have closed with kind of what I already said. You know, you are a white male. You have this privilege. You know, you really have the opportunity. You know, I also felt like he was telling me to be complacent. He was telling me to just be okay with the way things are. And I guess I really would have closed with, you know, we can't be complacent, especially those of us born into privilege. It's that systematic racism, and it's just continual, and we need to change it in whatever form we can, individually, you know, in the systems, in the schools, in our institutions. Do what we can to change that.
Okay, goodness, sheesh. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Dasjini Cruz. We were talking about celebration and how she's participating in it this year. And then we started talking on perspectives on social equity here in our area in Juneau. Zonta Kahini, I really appreciate your time being on the show today. I did promise that we would check in. Also, you make jewelry. You're an artist. Where can we find your work online?
Well, technically, we are working on a website right now. Hopefully, it'll be up and running in the next couple of months. You can look for us on Facebook under Dasjini Cruz or Roz Cruz. We also have a page called Naakee Designs, NAAKEE. And that's just going to be on Facebook. You can email us at naakeedesigns@gmail.com. Just look for us that way until we get our website up and running.
And I think I've found your work at Kindred Post as well.
Yes, Kindred Post. Sea Alaska Heritage Store has some right now. Planet Alaska. And I think the Jack is probably running pretty low. But, you know, our stocks in the stores aren't as high. But please, please support local businesses if you can. So check those places out first. And then if they don't have what you want, give us a call.
Dasjini, thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to add today?
No, Scott, I just really appreciate you hitting me up for this interview, and I appreciate the openness and your willingness to allow me to speak my mind. And I hope that everybody enjoys celebration online. Gnaschish.
Gnaschish.